Welcome to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Your Wood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Your host, David Swope, will be talking about events happening around the state and on the national scene. Whether it's got two wheels or four wheels, pavement and off-road racing, or park and shine. If you are into it, we are into it. Call now, 994-1017. That's 994-1017 to get into all the action. Now, here's your host, David Swope.
Good morning. It's Saturday morning. That means it's time for the New Mexico Motorsports Report. I'm your host, David Swope, and we'll be talking about automotive and related motorsports activities around the state and on the national scene each and every week. We invite you to get involved by calling 994-1017. That's 994-1017 to get into all the action. Whether it has two wheels or four, asphalt or dirt track racing, off-road or park and shine, we'll be talking about it. This is New Mexico's only show devoted to motorsports with a full hour here on ESPN Radio 101.7, The Team. Will Power took the 50th pole of his career Friday night, leading Team Penske to a four-team, two-row sweep in qualifying in the IndyCar race for tonight at Gateway Motorsports Park. The 36-year-old Australian set a track record with a two-lap run of 47.4579 seconds. That's 189.642 miles per hour on the newly paved mile-and-a-half oval. Power has six poles this season. Points leader Joseph Newgarden will start on the outside of the front row after a run of 47.7921 seconds at 188.316 miles per hour. Helio Castroneves was third, and Simon Pagenaud wrapped out the top four in the Penske sweep. And I wonder what it's got to feel like, you know, to be like the fourth best, but be the fourth best on a team. It's got to be significant. So joining us this morning, actually, is Scott Welch and Alan Mertens. And how are you doing this morning, Alan?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Well, I really appreciate having you in. A great little article in the New Mexico Motorsports Report magazine about your involvement with the Galmer. But what was I thought was amazing was that in the article there's seven different marches. Won five Indy 500s in a row, and with five different drivers. It was absolutely amazing. I mean, what was it like? I mean, you know, working with March and then actually be able to come over and develop your own machine and to watch it perform.
Well, right at the beginning, it was kind of tough, really, because I came from Formula One. I worked in Formula One with March. And then the last Formula One car I did, they turned into an Indy car. We decided to make a run at the American market. And we came over here and we were kind of somewhat blasé and probably a little bit cocky until we got to the speedway. And it was like, oh, my God, what have I got myself into? The place was really scary. It was amazing. It was just like made your skin tingle. And it was the start of a relatively decent dynasty. But it took us a while, like picking the brains of the existing crew chiefs and all the acknowledged experts before we got our heads around it. And we didn't do that great for the first couple of years, but like from 83 onwards, we had a pretty good run.
I would say that's a pretty good run. Historically speaking, there might not be any better run. You know, it gets in your blood. I mean, it's still in your blood. I mean, that, you know, the 92 was the win with the Galmer. And of course, it was a complete Albuquerque sweep, you know, with Driver and with Gallus, Rick Gallus and everything. Today, are you still, you know, are you still working on a better chassis? And what are you doing in regards to racing today?
Me personally?
Yeah.
About 3 years ago, we did a junior category car for the SCCA called a Formula 1000. And then after the first 2 years, for whatever reason, the SCCA decided to pull the plug on that particular category. And we sold one car, you know what I mean? Although we laid down a batch of 12. And then it was something that cropped up the other day when Scott and I were talking. We realized that the future is possibly in electric cars, and there's an international formula called Formula E,
yeah,
which kind of piqued our interest, and people are starting to talk about it now as possibly being the way of the future. you know, because it's eco-friendly and all this sort of thing, and the big companies are starting to show an interest in it. So we decided, well, why don't we do a junior version? Nobody's done that before, and we can get in at the ground floor. And so what I'm currently working on at the moment is adapting the Formula 1000 car, which is a motorcycle engine car, into an electric car. And we're going to call this series the Electrolyte. You know, kind of a bit of a take on the Indy Lights type series.
Absolutely.
And so we're talking to some people. What we wanted to do is not just design and build the cars, but we wanted to try and run the whole series. And so then we got control of our destiny, and we're not open to the vagrancies of people like the SCCA and whatever. So.
Well, you know, I don't know if it's because of your English accent, but you said that so nicely, and yet we all knew exactly what you meant, you know, about the other people getting involved. I mean, it was so eloquent. Scott, I know you're chomping at, you know, to say something, but is there any way that we could maybe, like, go full circle and get some, like, you know, positive energy, you know, some sun power, to where we actually have the collectors there and you're charging the car? I mean, what's your thoughts on this Formula E thing? I mean, it's very exciting.
I mean, to me, it's where things seem to be going.
Yeah.
Well, Tesla's going nuts. Now all your big manufacturers, Mercedes and I'm sure BMW, they're going for it on the electric cars. You're going to see some crazy stuff coming out. So it just came to mind. Alan had told me what had happened with the car. And
right.
Of course, I can't wait to take pictures of the car, but I haven't seen it in person yet. but I had just texted him one day and said, how hard would it be to put an electric motor in that thing, you know? And he was like, ding, you know, I said it to the right guy, obviously.
Well, so, and I mean, an engineer, I mean, he can do it.
Engineer.
I mean, you know, it's like, sponsorship and, you know, the money and all that, the promotion, all that other kind of stuff is probably in somebody else's wheelhouse. But when you ask an engineer, I mean, don't they always go, well, maybe? I mean, Alan, is that the first thought when you think about engineering things? Do you start, or do you think about all the problems first, and then you just one by one try and remove the problems?
Well, I guess I learned in the past, you know, when we are producing customer cars and you've got to sell them, relatively speaking, the engineering and the design is quite easy, but trying to sell something is difficult. I'm not a marketing sort of person.
I am.
And but then, you know, you can't really tell what piques your interest in. Somebody can talk to you about something, you go, yeah, yawn fest, not interested in that. And then somebody can just bring something up and it just hits all the right bells. And this just seemed to be a no-brainer to me. And if we can pull it off, we'll be lucky that we're the first people to do it at that level. And then so finally, we'll have a captive audience, a captive market. And I got some people, a guy called Mike Lee is actually helping me, who runs a company called Speed TV. And he was talking to us some time ago about doing a reality TV show based around motor racing and the Galmer chassis. And that kind of he never managed to pull that off. But he seems to be pretty interested in this Electrolyte series. So hopefully we'll get some TV support with it as well.
Well, and I think that that's what it all comes down to is people being more interested. You're absolutely right. One time I actually was coming down the elevator with somebody after doing one of the motorsports show, and it really got on me because I it wasn't green and all the fossil fuels that you're burning and you know Sunoco and all this stuff, and I was like, you know, I mean, where did that come from? So there is that other side of the world. And you're absolutely right. I mean, Volvo announced that they're not going to produce, a gasoline car anymore. It's going to be either a hybrid or it's going to be electric. And so it is definitely happening. Plus the dependency on not having to get, oil out of the Middle East. I mean, it all makes a lot of sense. But when you talk about, like, say, the customers, what's going on in Formula One, right now, of course, with the they want to have the best motors and McLaren and, what they're going to do and the complaining, that's happening. Fernando Alonso, I mean, he's got to be, somehow they got to take a hit out on that guy for him to stop, talking bad about their product. But, I mean, what's the balance there? I mean, there's somewhere between they want to perform at the highest level, But, you know, but the economics of the whole thing, I mean, that's why Ferrari and Mercedes, I mean, they have, you know, all the money to get the development and everything done. What's your thoughts on that balance between the affordability factor and winning?
Well, it isn't really affordable at all. I mean, they're really lucky that the major manufacturers involved in it. And there was an article written recently by a retired, long since retired Formula One driver saying the Formula One needs a reset. You know, if the big manufacturers start to pull out of it because they can't reconcile the economics of it, Formula One is going to be dead in the water. And there's still a huge, great big disparity. The Formula One teams that have got manufacturer support and the Formula teams that haven't, I mean, they're supposed to be running fields of 26 cars and they're only making a grid of 20. And now the new American company, Liberty, is it, that's taken over?
Yes, yeah, Liberty Media.
They're starting to get criticized by their shareholders now because they're not making the sort of money that Bernie Ecclestone used to make when he had Formula One by the scruff of the neck. So they're starting to struggle. So it's not, it's seemingly not going to be such a commercial success as what they thought it was going to be. And they're still looking at spending even more money before they can actually make it. So it's kind of on rocky ground, really.
Yeah, and it all comes down to economics. And regardless of, and I've talked a lot of junk about Bernie Ecclestone because of that iron fist. But deep down, I mean, where would it be without the safety innovations and somebody having the vision to step up and buy the TV rights? I mean, they were just sitting there, you know, and it's the vision. That's why I think you guys are on to something. And of course, you've got a lot of people that can help. And it'd be exciting to be involved in that.
Speaking of safety, David, this gentleman brought a lot of safety to Indianapolis and is in the cars now. From what Alan did as well. So,
yeah, back in the day at March, we pioneered the use of carbon and for the chassis, which is also extremely stiff and light, but is also a really good crash structure. But we must have fought with the governing body for about 3 or 4 years straight before we could finally convince them that that was the way to go. But, of course, now it's the industry standard. You know, for all of the quick, expensive cars, they're all made out of carbon fiber now.
Was that called monocoque? Is that
monocoque?
Monocoque.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's amazing, and you see these horrific crashes. I mean, even the Indy 500 this year, Scott Dixon, and they walk away, and it's almost unusual for somebody to get hurt. And yet it still happens. I was listening to NASCAR radio the other day and a guy called up and said, "Hey, whatever happened to Adam Petty? You know, you never hear about him anymore." And the guy's like, "He passed away." You know, I mean, you just don't think about, that anymore. But, if people wanted to learn more about your project or follow your project, how do they connect with you?
They can connect with me via our website, galmarinc.com. And all the contact information is on there. There's a lot of history about the company as well and a lot of pretty pictures of cars and stuff like that. So, yeah, they can get hold of me via the website if they're interested, if they want to talk.
How about you, Scott? How would they follow you?
ScottWelchPhoto.com. The same old deal. You know, I need to update my website, Dave.
So. Well, you're too busy shooting, you know, to do the rest of stuff. Hey, maybe you could hire somebody to take care of that. But, hey, thank you guys for coming in this morning early and catching us up on that. And I invite you to, you know, look, stop by. You know, you can go by the Unser Museum and pick up the magazine, actually see some of the cars down there. We got a whole lot more coming up on the other side. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
Make a Bruno's restaurant. Your choice for lunch or dinner and the very best in New Mexican cuisine. Sip on a margarita and let El Bruno's menu take you from the freshest, made-at-your-table guacamole anywhere to their authentic New Mexican dishes and even steaks and chops. You will love the decor and the atmosphere. Take advantage of their patio seating for your next special event. El Bruno's even does catering. El Bruno's Restaurante and Cantina, born in Cuba, New Mexico, and now growing in the North Valley at 8806 4th Street, or visit elbrunos.com.
What does it take to become a winner? You need speed, skill, a team that's got your back, and a whole lot of know-how. That's Napa Know-How.
Kraken Crab has Albuquerque's best seafood boil. Enjoy fresh oysters, fresh crawfish, crab, shrimp, and more, coupled with the finest Cajun spices. Three locations, including Unser and McMahon.
Since 1968, Yearwood Performance has been the home for Go Fast Parts, giving you the edge on the track and the street. Knowledge of what to use and how to use it. Fuel injection, ignition systems, gauges and accessories, including the largest selection of hoses and fittings. Torco Racing Fuel ready to go in convenient 5-gallon cans. New Mexico's oldest and largest speed shop, Yearwood Performance, 341 Eubank, and on the west side at 9674 Eagle Ranch Road, across from Costco. Buy local, save time and money. Yearwoodperformance.com.
Hi, this is Jennifer. I'd love you to join me for some fish and chips in Dublin, but Albuquerque's Two Fills Tavern is the next best thing. Two Fills Tavern allows for you to experience the feel of a tavern like here in Ireland without having to travel to our part of the world. Enjoy fine pub fare, including Two Fills award-winning fish and chips, Guinness beef boxty, and much more. You can sip on their extensive craft and imported beers, or explore the taste of hundreds of whiskies, including 100-plus single malt scotches. Two Fills Tavern on Central in Knob Hill, where the crack is mighty.
Hi, this is Bill Helmick with Albuquerque Barbell. We have state-of-the-art equipment to develop strength and fitness regardless of your current and individual skill level. We cater to everyone ranging from high school to senior citizen and offer sports and rehab-specific training. We are a 24-hour gym with the best equipment around and offer novice to advanced group classes. Our membership rates are only $40 per month, so come train with us at Albuquerque Barbell on Manal, one block east of Eubank. Albuquerque Barbell, the home of champions.
His name is Paul Rogers. Right, his songs are rock anthems. Now, in a rare solo appearance, Friday, September 22nd, Legends Theater at Route 66 Casino Hotel. The voice that rocks the planet, Paul Rogers. Buy tickets now. Visit RT66Casino.com. Live the rock and roll fantasy with Paul Rogers.
The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7. Hey, that was a lot of fun. I'd like to really see them get a series going. That would be great because, of course, you know, Al Unser Jr. Is definitely involved in that as well. But joining us right now is Matt Weaworth, Auto Week. How are you doing this morning, Matt?
Hey, good morning. Pretty good.
Man, I am sorry to keep you on hold so long, man. We were just getting really excited talking open wheels, so it's almost appropriate to kind of bring you in. But first, I got to ask you, what you been up to this summer, buddy?
Dude, let me tell you, it's been exhausting. It's been exhausting in a good way. I mean, as of last December, I started working for Auto Week full-time. So before that, I was a freelancer. So my life and career has kind of changed as a result now. So my schedule is a lot more different. I've been to Italy this summer for the World Rally Championship, my first taste of that series. Went to Utah a couple of weekends ago for Pirelli World Challenge. So just doing races that I would have never thought that I would do, being typically a stock car and IndyCar guy. But it's been a lot of fun for sure.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's got to be great to cover all different forms of racing. But you talk a little bit about the Pirelli, the World Challenge. That's got to be amazing.
Well, the thing that really stood out to me is actually two things. One, it kind of reminds me of late model racing, short track racing, because of the community aspect. I mean, these are guys who are out there to compete, and there's multiple levels, of course, but these guys try to help each other. They're a tight-knit community. When someone break something or they need a part, they can go across the garage to another team, and guys tend to help each other out at customer car level of racing. But the other thing that really stood out was that, you know, sports car racing is doing fairly healthy right now, and that's across all levels. You know, it starts with IMSA. IMSA has really seen participation levels shoot up, seen, you know, Lexus debut, and now, you know, Team Penske's coming over next year. They have cool things going on, but also at the lower levels, whether it's NASA or SCCA or even Pirelli World Challenge, they are the last true embodiment of win on Sunday, sell on Monday, and I think that shows in their car counts and drivers.
Well, and I think you make a great point between, you know, local short track racing and road racing, because the two communities kind of exist almost unto themselves. They don't necessarily care, you know, where they get the information. I mean, Auto Week, I mean, and which is a perfect, you know, play for where you work. I mean, Auto Week has always done a fantastic job of covering those, at least on the road racing side, giving a place where, you know, you look forward for that magazine to show up. It's got the information that you want, and they're able to dig and find other places on the web to get their information. And, you know, and road racing has always been kind of the, you know, the stepchild, the ugly stepchild to, you know, oval racing, with the Indy 500 being so big, or, you know, even with NASCAR. But I remember one of my favorite things when I went to Long Beach to, you know, for the IndyCar race several years ago, was always to watch the sport car, you know, the sports cars race, and then the pre-race and the day before. I was more excited to see what Porsche was up to or BMW was up to. So that's gotta be fantastic.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that, because as a stock car guy growing up, I kind of discovered IndyCar later in life. And sports car racing was so far out on the horizon, I'd never really thought of it. The first time I attended an IndyCar race was the first year that IndyCar went to Barber, which is near my childhood home in Mobile. So that was 2011, 2010, one of those 2 years.
Yeah.
And, of course, back then, Grand Am was still doing races at Barber alongside IndyCar. So I'm already there. So I'm like, I'll check these guys out and then see what they do. And I'll roam through their paddock and try to talk to some of the teams. And it really, I fell in love with the cars. I mean,
yeah,
to me, it's like what car enthusiasts just dream about. Here are Ferraris, you know, right here in front of you. And here's the prototypes. And how cool are all of these different cars and the GTs? And it's something that you very much have to experience in person. And as for what you said about Auto Week, yeah, I mean, being a part of that company is just so cool, because they have their finger on the pulse of all things automotive culture. And so to be able to tap into those personalities and those knowledgeable people who work there, it's just really incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, because how the cross-pollinization happens. I mean, growing up in a road racing family, my dad wouldn't take me to the dirt track. You know, it was, you know, it was all this, well, their driving skills aren't as good as, you know, as the road racing drivers. But let's talk IndyCar, because IndyCar, I think, does a great job of balancing between, you know, the closed circuits, the road track, the road races. And, of course, you know, on the ovals, and they're at Gatewood. And once again, Penske sweeping qualifying with the top four positions. And it's really, a big battle between Joseph Newgarden and Scott Dixon. So, you know, you've got the Kanaski Penske at the top of the points. What can we look for in the run to the championship? Is Joseph Newgarden going to, you know, lock that up as a rookie at Penske? I mean, not a rookie in the series. Or will Helio Castroneves actually have a chance to win a championship, because it looks like he's going road racing?
Well, the first thing that I would point out is, don't forget that the championship race at Sonoma is double points.
Yeah, absolutely.
But even though you look at a guy like Will Power, who is currently fifth, who had just a terrible start to the year. Everything that could go wrong could go wrong. It was Murphy's Law, right?
Right.
Well, he's 42 points back, but technically it's closer to, you know, 22, 23 points back if you count the last race as double points.
Right.
If he wins out, he's going to make this really, really interesting. But I think, and look, I love Joseph Newgarden. He is the type of driver that I've been saying that IndyCar needs forever. As a young, marketable American driver with a super team like Team Penske, this is excellent, and he's got a great personality. But the fan in me is like, you know, if something happens to him at Gateway, whether an engine blows or he cuts a tire and finishes five laps off the pace, I wouldn't necessarily hate that, because if you look behind them, Dixon's 18 points back, Castro Neves is 22, Pagano's 26, Powers 42. If something happens to Newgarden and it bunches these guys back together, that is going to be an excellent championship battle down the stretch heading to Watkins Glen and then Sonoma. So, look, I love Joseph Newgarden, but just for the sake of narrative and drama, I really would not be offended if something happens to him. But, you know, more than likely, he's going to win out, because he's incredible. He's a great talent. He's really meshed well with Team Penske, and I think he very well could have I can't believe I'm saying this, but a Rick Mears-like career at Penske. He fits that mold, and I think that Roger views him in the same light, and that's going to be an incredible pairing for years to come.
Yeah, absolutely. I was kind of looking at some Penske numbers, and Brad Keselowski, you know, is moving his way up there. And of course, there was all this talk about him switching to Hendrick. And I was thinking, why would he leave Penske, you know, with that many victories? And of course, you know, Mark Donahue, the cornerstone of basically what got Penske going in the big Penske name. But what a dominating performance. What are your thoughts quickly on NASCAR, what are your thoughts about Penske adding a third car?
Well, I get crap from John Wood about this all the time when I say that, you know, you guys have Penske has three cars anyway.
Right.
And John Wood is always the first to either text me or tweet me and be like, dude, it's our car. And I'm like, okay, you can say it's your car till the sun goes down and comes back up, but every single time I drive down to Mooresville to the Team Penske shop, there's that 21 car sitting right next to the 2 and 22. So for it to be the Wood Brothers car, it looks an awful lot like it's a Team Penske car. So I think this is just the status quo for Team Penske. They've been servicing the 21 car for so long. I think having the 21 basically become the 12, same crew chief, same driver, it's not really a huge departure. What I am curious to see is what happens now that Paul Menard is heading to the 21.
Yep.
I mean, obviously that's going to be a pretty well-funded effort.
Yep.
Team Penske says they still have a technical alliance with the 21, so I wonder, are you still going to see the 21 car at their shop? Is it going to be basically making Team Penske a de facto four-car team? Those are the kind of questions that I have about that alliance moving forward. And Team Penske right now, I do believe, is a little stretched thin. The 22 car has not been as strong as it has been in years past, still
yep.
looking for that first win that counts.
Right.
And, you know, Brad has been consistent, but haven't, you know, that team haven't riled up the wins they're used to. So it's interesting to see what they're going to be as we get closer to the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to get you back on soon, because we didn't even get a chance to talk about the whole Menard's connection and what that's going to do for Paul Menard. But hey, how can the listeners follow you?
Well, the best way is on Twitter. That's at Matt Weaver AW. That's where everything goes. Stories, my opinions, you know, pictures of where I'm at. I'm at a racetrack somewhere every weekend.
Yep.
You know, if Facebook ever comes back online, I'm there too. Matt Weaver Motorsports. And again, have me on anytime you guys want. Y'all have my number. Good talking to y'all.
All right, thank you, Matt. We really appreciate it. That was Matt Weaver. Definitely, you can follow him with Auto Week. We're going to talk some drifting on the other side with Turbo Dan Brockett. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
New Mexico's only custom car builder magazine is the New Mexico Rods and Rides, with monthly full-color features such as the Business Spotlight, Reader Fever, and a complete listing of all New Mexico car clubs. Pick up a copy at any Napa stores in Albuquerque, Rio Rancho, Los Lunas, Boleyn, and even Socorro. Contributing columns such as Showtime, Old Time Fun, and the monthly cover car has made New Mexico Rods and Rides magazine a local favorite for over 6 years. Pick up the latest copy today.
Napa Know How.
Ever wish you could have your own walk-up music? Napa has the rugged Bluetooth speaker on sale for $29.99. It's portable and waterproof, which means you can play walk-up music anywhere. Showing up to a party? Walk-up music. Doing a sweet cannonball? Walk-up music. The rugged Bluetooth speaker at Napa for $29.99 makes everything cooler. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer expires 6/30/17.
Have you ever heard of the saying, happy wife, happy life? Well, Daniels Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning believes that a cool, comfortable summer results in happy wife and happy life. Give the gift that'll keep on giving for years to come with a brand new high-efficient refrigerated air system. And with Daniels financing and low monthly payments on installation and repairs, now is the time to stay cool and happy. Call Daniels for a free estimate at 898-8860, 898-8860, and experience a new level of comfort.
Hi, I'm calling about the home on Holbrook that's listed at $450,000.
Yes, that's right.
It says it's a one-bedroom, one-bath fixer-upper.
Yep.
For $450,000?
Right. Well, the home was recently restuccoed by Tasuke Stucco.
Oh, really? Tasuke? Why didn't you say so? I'd like to make an offer.
The artists at Tasuke Stucco Company take the time to stucco each home to perfection. Contact Tasuke Stucco Company today for a free estimate at 877-982-5530 or at tasukestucco.com. Tasuke Stucco, the art of stucco.
Pick up your copy of the Albuquerque Journal and plan your weekend with Venue, your weekly entertainment guide featuring information on movies, restaurants, live music, and theater. Learn tips to maintain your physical and mental well-being in our health section every Tuesday. Discover new recipes, food trends, and cooking tips in our food section every Wednesday. Share America's love of food and drinks with the monthly Relish magazine. Stop by one of our many retail locations today for your copy or visit us at abqjournal.com.
Dreaming of a new hot tub? You've worked hard and deserve a relaxing spa. Year-round family fun and great for muscle aches and pains. Right now, save $500 to $1,000 on select models of jacuzzi hot tubs or Cal spas. Plus, easy financing. No interest for 1 year or payments as low as $99 per month. Offer ends soon. Hurry in for seasonal savings to Dreamstyle Remodeling's beautiful showroom, 1460 Renaissance Boulevard across from Sam's Club.
The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. Quick programming note that at 9 a.m. we got FM Sports Saturday coming up. That's with Fred and Marty. 10 a.m. you got the Henry T. Show. At 2 p.m. Major League Baseball, we got the Mets versus the Nationals. 6 p.m. we've got the Raiders versus the Cowboys. Then on Sunday, Major League Baseball, Brewers versus Dodgers at 2 p.m. 6 p.m. we got the Mets versus the Nationals. All right, big events coming up next week. You want to check out all the cool things that are going on, make sure you pick up a copy of the New Mexico Rods and Rides magazine. It's the only custom car builder magazine in the state with full monthly color features such as the Business Spotlight, Reader Fever, and a complete listing of all the New Mexico car clubs. You can pick up a free copy at the Napa stores, Albuquerque, Rio Rancho, Los Lunas, Boleyn, and even down in Socorro. Pick one up today. Find out all the cool things that are going on. Find out why New Mexico Rods and Rides magazine has been a favorite for over 7 years. Talk about cool things that are coming up next weekend. You got the No Coast Drift Party. And joining us right now is Dan Brockett with Risky Whiskey Garage. How you doing this morning, Dan?
Good. How are you, Dave?
I can't believe that you're going to have a seventh. I can't believe that there's been seven of those out there, man. Tell us what's going on next weekend.
Yeah, I can't either. I can't believe the track's still letting us do that.
Exactly.
next weekend we have one of the largest drift events in the Southwest. We have a bonfire. We have metal bands. We have a big party Saturday night. And then we get up and we do it again all day Sunday. So out at the Sandia Motor Speedway, we got drifting all day, all the way into the night. And then, the other festivities begin. So it's kind of a whole 2-day weekend event that we throw once a year. It's our season closer. So this is our end of our eighth season technically. But we didn't have it, the first year I started running events out there. So
this is like de facto the eighth one. But tell us a little bit about it. I know you got some cars that come in from all over the Southwest. We got a lot of great drivers locally, but you seem to get quite a turnout for the No Coast Drift. Any feel for the cars are going to be coming over?
Yeah, we get guys from all over the United States. Last year we had a couple of guys come all the way out from Atlanta.
Wow.
Which is a pretty good, I think that's the farthest somebody's came for these events. We get a bunch of guys from California and Arizona, of course, Nevada, Texas. This year we have a couple of pros coming. We got, Take Ono. He's a Japanese driver. He's going to be out there. He's bringing a car from California. So that's going to be pretty exciting and new for stuff that we've had. We've never had a chance to really invite other big time drivers to come out. So we got at least a couple of pro guys coming. Maybe a couple of others that are going to be heading home from a different event on the East Coast. So we'll see if that actually plays out.
That's fantastic. So, drivers in this event, they have aspirations of running Formula D someday?
Oh, a lot of them do.
Awesome.
A lot of them are running Pro-Am series throughout the country and they come down here to have a good time. The season's real close to being over. I think there may be one Pro-Am event. So some guys still may be saving their cars for that. But everybody else and the guys that kind of can afford to do both are coming down. And we have, I think, 33 pre-registered drivers.
Awesome.
We probably have another 20 that show up the day of. So everybody goes out there and camps and just has a good time.
Well, and you know firsthand what it's like to run this series. I mean, how much of a different level of cost is there once you step up to the Formula D level?
Oh man, it's kind of exponential at that point. It's
wow.
Like any other professional motorsport. It's really cheap and fun to do when it's grassroots, and then you start doing Pro-Am, it starts getting a little more expensive, and then Formula D level, you're spending $8,000 to $10,000 an event, and you're like, wow, what am I doing?
Wow, absolutely. I mean, you definitely need sponsorship at that time and a bunch of parts to throw at. Well, I was wondering if you mind telling a little story about you heading over to Japan and trying to build a car over there and make it into one of the drift competitions. I mean, what was that experience like?
That was a pretty crazy one. Real happy to be able to do that because some of you may know, drifting started in Japan, and to be able to go over there and do that was an awesome opportunity. We got to go out there with GK Tech and Optima Batteries actually sent us over there. We bought a car blind on basically the Japanese version of Craigslist, which is yahooauctions.jp. We were looking on the airplane as we were going over there to try to find something to buy. We had a very, very, very small budget. So we got there, we finally picked out a car, and it was a gigantic pile of you know what. And we had a bunch of parts that had previously shipped over there, so we brought all of our suitcases full of parts over and,
awesome.
And tried to get it going, and the guy said it had like 350 horsepower and it had like maybe 200.
Right.
And then we went and competed in a professional event, which was a pretty interesting thing to do with a completely not prepped car.
Right.
It was a lot of fun, and we ate at 7-Eleven all the time and stayed in a Love Hotel, and it was just an outstanding trip.
That's fantastic. Hey, how would people reach out if they want to get more information on the No Coast Drift?
They can head over to my website, www.danbrockettdrift.com, or search for No Coast Drift Party 7 on Facebook. It's going to be the easiest way to do that. The pre-registration for driving just ended yesterday evening, but you can still buy tickets at the gate. Those are going to be $20 for the 2-day pass or $15 for the day pass. So if you guys want to hang out at night with us and have a good time, then $20 pass is for you.
Oh, that's fantastic. And then that's one thing I think most people don't realize about that community. It's closer to drag racing, to in which you're actually in the pits and around the cars, whereas a lot of the other forms is kind of, there's some separation between between the drivers and the cars until after the race when the pits open. But hey, really appreciate you coming on this morning, Dan, and I look forward to seeing you out there next weekend.
All right, sounds good. Thanks again for having me on. I mucho appreciate it.
You betcha. That's Dan Brockett. We call him Turbo Dan, but he's also goes by Officer Dan. But you want to come out and check out the No Coast Drift. All right, we got a whole lot more coming up, including we're going to talk some drag racing on the other side and the Flash Cadillac. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
Your money will go for an amazing home and place at D.R. Horton's Peaks in Mariposa. 5-car garages. Yes, all your toys can now be in one place. A detached RV garage. Granite countertops. Energy efficient. Spectacular views. Here's the kicker. All at a non-custom price. D.R. Horton's The Peaks. You'll have to see for yourself. Take a tour of one of their furnished models today. For directions, go to drhorton.com/nm.
See a D.R. Horton sales consultant in the community for details. 505-750-1209. Equal housing lender.
Jet cars are back. The Labor Day Bash is coming to the Albuquerque Dragway, September 1st and 2nd. Thrilling side-by-side action with real outlaw door slammers, super pro, pro, sportsmen's, and junior dragsters. Attacking the quarter mile with a full bracket race. Gates open Friday at 4 p.m. with the Friday night combo series and Saturday at noon. Two-day passes are available. The 2017 season is racing to an end, and the Labor Day Bash is a don't miss, September 1st and 2nd. ABQDragway.com.
Have you or someone you love been seriously injured? You need an experienced attorney. There is no substitute for experience. We at the Law Office of Brian K. Branch have been helping people just like you for over 30 years, recovering tens of millions of dollars for their clients. We will help you understand and know your rights. Just call 717-2626 for a free consultation. At the Law Office of Brian K. Branch, we understand there is the easy way to do things and the right way to do things. When you have been seriously injured, you need someone in your corner who knows how to and does things the right way. That's how we at the Law Office of Brian K. Branch have represented our clients for over 30 years. Call us today for a free consultation at 717-2626. We will be right by your side when you need us, fighting for you every step of the way and doing things the right way. Call the Law Office of Brian K. Branch today at 717-2626.
From first downs to touchdowns, Slate Street Billiards has you covered. Rio Rancho's premier billiard hall and grill invites you to enjoy all your sporting events on 14 screens and 9 projectors. Home to the UFC, best hot wings in town, ice cold beer, and football. What more can you ask for? Slate Street Billiards, 2003 Southern Boulevard, Suite 139. Life's better here. Don't forget to reserve your seat for the Mayweather-McGregor fight. Seats are limited and filling up fast. Call 505-994-0363 to reserve your spot now.
What does it take to become a winner? You need speed, skill, a team that's got your back, and a whole lot of know-how. That's Napa Know-How.
Live horse racing continues in Albuquerque with Racing Under the Lights Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, with first post at 6.05 p.m. and day racing Sundays at 1.30 p.m. Don't miss a minute of live racing action at the Downs at Albuquerque, now through September 24th.
The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team. And joining me in the studio is Courtney Hines with Flash Auto. How are you doing this morning, Courtney?
Real good, David.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad you made it out. I mean, I didn't know if you were going to be under a car this morning, so I know how it gets. But tell me a little bit about Flash Auto. I mean, how long have you been in business?
I've been in business 38 years, it's been fun, been different. Never planned on being in business, but it ended up that way.
Yeah. So were you working at another shop or working on cars?
I was working at other shops and I ended up between jobs for a couple of weeks and decided to just branch out on our own.
Wow. And so you guys decided also to become a Napa Auto Care Center. When did that happen in the process? Was that fairly soon when you got going? Or?
No, it was a ways after. I can't actually pin down the date, but I was a Napa customer for years, and they always had a good product, and I was looking at the reasons and the reasons not to, and there weren't any reasons not to. So they had a lot of benefits, and I started looking at benefits to our customers.
Right.
The best warranties in the country, 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty, coast to coast. We got over 14,000 repair centers, and if you break down, you just call the phone number and they direct you to the nearest one, or if you need a tow, they get you towed. They also have I know costs of auto repair have gone up over the years like everything else has. And so Napa came out with an Easy Pay credit card, and which gives you a certain length of free interest, either 6 months or 12 months. And if you use one of those cards, your warranty is extended to 36 months, 36,000 miles.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. But what it does is it, I would assume that it helps somebody do the things that they need to do, especially like you're going to go on a road trip or something with the family or getting the kids back and forth to school, that you need to make some of these repairs, but maybe you don't have it in your budget. But with the Easy Pay, you can budget the maintenance that should be done and actually add to the life of the car. And if they're on the road, like you said, they could just call somebody, and it's like having your shop go with them. So it's not just a local thing.
Yes, and you can qualify quickly, and they'll issue a card, and you can take the card with you on your trip.
Right.
Say in case something happens.
And it was funny because I was talking to one of the other Napa Auto Care, and what they liked is it's a card that you can send with your kid to school. Because then that way, they can't buy groceries or better yet, we all know, go to the convenience store and load up on candy. But if something happens on the car, they can get it taken care of. And what a peace of mind. I hadn't even thought of that. Mine haven't left the state. So of course they still call me, but you know how it is. Was it also kind of, Napa does so much in the community that they don't tell people about. That is due because it's right. Was that part of one of the decisions, too, with some of the other organizations that they support?
Well, at first, I don't remember a lot of charity stuff, but lately we really got into it. Over the last few years, we've done Meals on Wheels.
Right.
We support. We usually pick a charity for each year.
Right.
And we did Wounded Warriors.
Right.
This year we're doing the Children's Hospital.
Right.
And Napa plays a big part in, we usually have, close to matching funds.
Right.
So they are a big team player when it comes to charities and such. And we're proud to be affiliated with them.
Yeah. That's fantastic. I know you've... had the Flash Cadillac out at the track, and I was always wanting to ask you because one, it's neat. I mean, it's an older older body style too. But why Cadillac? I mean, you don't in today's day and age, you don't hear as much about Cadillac as you did back in the day.
Well, at the time, I was working at the Cadillac dealership.
Ah, okay.
And this was a repo, and I was able to buy it for $50.
Well, there you go.
You know, and it was pretty hammered.
Yeah.
But you know, being young, reading all the hot rod magazines and seeing what the latest, you know, tricks are, you know, like angled spark plugs and, you know, high nickel blocks and, you know, just all the things you'd kind of look for in a race car, you know.
Right.
As I was working on them every day, I'm looking at this and I'm going like, well, this seems to have all those things. So I decided, you know, we'd just start making some hot rod parts for this. And we started slowly making it faster and faster, you know, and started taking it to the drag strip, you know. First, we were bombing around on the streets with it.
Right,
you know,
right.
But then we started really seeing the potential, you know. At first, we thought this is, you know, kind of a joke.
Right.
But when it started beating lots of muscle cars, you know, you know, yeah. We say, well, this could be kind of serious, you know, so.
Well, my dad had one. I'm trying to think if it was like the early 80s, but I mean, he had a 454 in it. And if you think about it, to move that much gross weight, you needed some horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
So if you took that horsepower and you started pulling some weight out of the car, you had yourself quite a contender.
Oh, yes.
So that's probably part what it was, is they built it just to be able to move that much metal.
Yeah, yeah, lots of cubic inches. You know, they were, I think we had 472 is what my 1970 came with.
And wow.
Then, of course, they had the 500 cubic inch back then in the Eldorado.
Wow.
You know, so, and most of the parts are interchangeable. So we beat on it pretty hard back in those years using all the stock parts we could, but really on a budget, you know, we couldn't afford much. To, you know,
absolutely.
So we adapted a lot of pieces to make it work. And we got pretty fast and won some track championships with it and stuff. You
cool.
Know? And we used to go out of town a whole lot with it.
Yeah. Did you ever go to Bonneville?
Not with that car.
Yeah?
Not with that car. But back in 2008, I was contacted by Amir Rosenbaum, who owned Spectra Performance.
Wow.
Who made those air filters and yeah. other custom pieces out of California. And he wanted me to build him a Cadillac engine for his Bonneville Streamliner.
Wow.
You know, and you know, I questioned him saying, you know, well, how fast do you need to go? You know? and you know, and he said, we need to go at least 325 miles an hour. And I said, why don't you just use a big block Chevrolet?
Right.
And he says, because everybody else is. So he wanted
something different.
Right.
Yeah. And that's awesome. But whereabouts is Flash Auto located?
8333 Jefferson.
Okay.
That's just north of Paseo del Norte.
Okay. Well, that's pretty convenient. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, it's not far from I-25 and between Alameda and Paseo. I mean, it's got to be pretty easy to get in and out of.
Right, right. It sure is. It's a good location. We've got 2 acres there, so we've got plenty of parking and can drive all the way around the building and probably about 20 bays. I built the building, so I knew what I was looking for when I designed it. So
awesome.
It's worked good.
Well, I really appreciate you coming in this morning and definitely appreciate your involvement with the Napa and the Napa Auto Care Centers. And hope to see you out next weekend out at ABQ Dragway. They got the Labor Day Bash going on again. But really appreciate you coming in this morning.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, that's another edition of the New Mexico Motorsports Report. Next week, we'll have an all-new show. We haven't decided if we're going to tape because there's so many great things going on next weekend, and it is Labor Day. So we may be. I thought I saw a smile out of Kelly, and it looks like Brooklyn, they're both going for it. So anyway, you've been listening to another edition of the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
Thank you for listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine here on ESPN Radio 1017 The Team. Join us again next week where your host David Swope will be talking about events happening around the state and on the national scene, whether it's got two wheels or four wheels, pavement and off-road racing, or park and shine. If you are into it, we are into it.
...1017 KQTM Rio Rancho Albuquerque, your hometown radio station.